I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Been running on a Wednesday. I don't know why, Sean. It feels like a Thursday. We've got a big-time college football game. I say big-time. I give the Sun Belt their proper due. The Fun Belt.
Coastal Carolina.
Sold-out stadium down there in Boone, North Carolina. 27-21. The Shants just took a six-point lead. I know that makes my co-host in Sean King very happy. How's everyone doing? Other than Boston Red Sox fans, they're probably not doing all that right. Sean's over here raising the roof. Why are you raising the roof?
Because
on this Wednesday
I have
night?
The Dodgers versus the Braves over 8, and a single just made it 5-2 in the bottom of the fifth. So
there
now
we're
2 runs away from ching 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 ching.
There you go, 8-2, 5-2. Man, I thought that the Braves, after they blew that lead, Sean. Last night, or yesterday afternoon, whatever it was, thought, done. They weren't even the series favorite anymore.
Right.
The Dodgers became the series favorite. And then you turn the game on today, and it's 5-0 Braves. The Braves have taken it to the Dodgers yet again. 2 runs in the second, 2 runs in the third, another in the fifth. They get to Julio Urias, who's allowed 5 runs, all of those runs on his ledger on 8 hits. But the Dodgers, man, with that lineup, Sean, it's just they're never out. They're never out.
Here's why I didn't take the Braves. Because the strategy that they're utilizing tonight is very dear to me because I feel like the Rays kind of created some of these.
The starter.
Outside the box.
Yeah, the
like we're
going
to go with the bullpen game. And here's what I've learned. Smiley came in, pitched great.
Mm-hmm.
When you're expecting to use 5-6 pitchers, only one of them has to have an off night. And when you're dealing with the talent that the Dodgers have, I felt like no matter what the score was, as you got deeper into that bullpen, they've seen a lot of these guys twice now. I just didn't like Atlanta being able to hold on to the lead. Sort of like the last game. They had a big lead and gave it up. So we'll see. That's why I just took the over. I thought it was a safe play.
You got it at 8?
Yeah, at 8.
Good. So it ended up closing here at Circa, juiced to the under 8.5. So you got that buffer now, 1 run, and you're getting your money back. Yeah. So we're pulling for your pockets. I got nothing tonight. I got nothing.
Oh, I have more.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Because you were firing on NBA.
Yeah, I had the Bulls minus 5.5. And guess what? They scared me to death. But I told you, this is why you don't, when you wager on an NBA game, don't even look at the score until about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Because the Bulls were down the entire game. They end up covering by a half a point. And they won by 6.
I think there was, JVT tweeted it, I think there was a bucket at the buzzer that was waved off. So that would have been a cover for the Pistons, but it was waved off, and that was the end of the game.
See, that's
so.
My homie. See, the clock, the guy running the clock in Detroit tonight. Good.
Jeremy Grant.
Shout out, man. Good job. Also, I have Coastal Carolina minus 5. They're up 6 right now.
That's a perspirator.
I'm not loving what I'm seeing from them on defense. They're not having a good game in the secondary. They're not doing a good job of tackling the guy at the point of contact. A lot of hidden yards being gained by App State after contact. They've thrown, I think, 4 posts now behind the safeties of Coastal Carolina. So I think this game is a long way from over, but I do love their sophomore quarterback. And I do believe,
Grayson McCall.
Yeah, I do believe that Coastal, even if it's close, late, has the firepower on offense to score and get this cover.
You know, as a former coach, I'm curious how you feel about these spots. Now, last week, App State got smashed by UL Lafayette on a weeknight game. I think that was a Tuesday game. Coastal Carolina's had time off, so neither one of these teams are really at a disadvantage preparation-wise. Coastal got more time. I love the fact, and I know Maction has kind of taken over that midweek role, but you know, for Coastal Carolina and Appalachian State, right, this is a sold-out game down in Boone, North Carolina. Two teams that we have, college football fans certainly know who they are. Coastal last year having the season that they did, that incredible game they played against BYU. App State has had big-time coaches there, Scott Satterfield, Eli Drinkwitz. So they've had good coaches. They've had quality teams. So I love the fact that they're on a Wednesday night. They're by themselves.
And they just scored another touchdown.
Wow.
This is a fourth quarter game. Coastal had a chance up 14-0 to really put the game away, and they couldn't get off the field on third down. And App State has gotten their confidence, and you know, they're exposing some of the weaknesses that a program like Coastal Carolina has, and that's lack of speed and depth on defense. And it's going to take a great game by Mr. McCall, but hey, that's why I was leaning toward Coastal, because they have the better quarterback. They have the better weapons on offense, but they're going to need to probably get in the 40s.
You know, last week, as the extra point was blocked, so we've got a tie game, 27 all. Last week, I was on the Raging Cajuns at home. I thought they were getting overlooked because, you know, that was a preseason top 25 team.
Yeah, they lost to Texas.
They lose
everybody
to Texas,
forgot about them.
And then, you know, they had some close games, but they still were a one-loss team going into it last week. I took Lafayette. They win running away. Tonight, I really wanted to take App State, knowing that this was a rivalry game, but a lot of smart people, yourself, Eric Eager, so many people that I trust really liked Coastal Carolina in this spot. Then you started to see that movement go towards App State. I said, I'm staying away. Normally, I would gobble up those points with a home dog like App State, but Coastal's really good.
Yeah.
So I stayed away.
I'm not feeling great, but this is not like...
I'm telling you what, if I had played App State, you'd feel better, because somehow, you know, tragically... Coastal Carolina or App State would blow the cover.
Again, I think college football is about great quarterback play, and McCall is a great quarterback. Hopefully, his fourth quarter, he demonstrates it. We'll see. Last time I bet with what I thought was a great quarterback was Malik Willis and Liberty. They were 32-point favorites at Louisiana Monroe, and they gave up 31 unanswered in the second half and lost outright. So hopefully this is not a repeat of that defeat, but we'll see.
So 27 all right now. App State and Coastal Carolina, so a lot of fun there. Braves and Dodgers going on, as we mentioned, just a couple moments ago. Sean was pretty happy to see a 2-run single be brought home there by the Dodgers, so he's waiting for one more run to get him a push, 2 more runs to get him that victory. And then you look over at what Houston did, and we're going to talk to Adam Wexler down in the great state of Texas. Bottom of the hour, there's a lot of rumors about Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
John McClain, who covers the Houston Texans for the Houston Chronicle, but has been doing that for a long, long time. He was out there saying that it's just really, it seems like a matter of time before the Houston Texans and the Dolphins make this trade happen. The trade deadline, as you see, for those of you watching on YouTube TV or VSiN.com, is coming up on November 2nd. What do you think about this potential fit? Now, it's a very unique situation, obviously, with all of the off-the-field allegations that piled up on Deshaun Watson. We still are waiting for the NFL to make a determination of can he play. So if he gets traded to Miami, is he going to be allowed to play? It's been Houston's decision to hold him out, Sean. So I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to play lawyer here, but just on a football side of things, what does this do for the Miami Dolphins if they are able to pull off this trade?
I mean, it does a lot, and I was trying to find the tweet that really broke down Tua's draft. Mm-hmm. And who Miami selected and who was taken
Justin
after
Herbert
them.
Was the next pick.
Yeah, but there are a couple of, they took a cornerback, and Stephon Diggs was on the board, and it was one other position that they drafted, and they missed. And I said that to say this, when you're not doing well drafting, then don't worry about the draft picks. Use them as trade bait because you're not going to find Deshaun Watson in this quarterback class anyway. It's going to be unfair to Tua, who I don't think has done anything wrong. You know, I think it's just not a great spot for him. But for Deshaun Watson, it's a new lease on life. And you're going to a team that has talent. You know, you're going to a situation where you're going to be the savior of that organization. When's the last time Miami had a great quarterback? Are we talking Dan Marino? I mean, it's
pretty much
been a long time. So
if you're going to go great, yeah, Dan Marino was the last quarterback that they had that you would consider great. Ryan Tannehill was there for a couple of years.
He wasn't even the Tennessee version of Tannehill, who isn't great.
Well, it's because Adam Gase was his coach.
That hurts.
Ben Fox, it's true. Ben Fox was the one that tweeted out the tweet that you referenced, our own Ben Fox.
And what was it exactly?
So the number 5 pick in the 2020 draft was Tua.
Mm-hmm.
The next pick was Justin Herbert.
Right.
So Justin Herbert was available. That number 18, they went with offensive tackle Austin Jackson, Justin Jefferson.
Minnesota Vikings, elite wide
still
receiver.
Available.
Right.
And then at 30, so they had 3 first-round picks in 2020. It was cornerback Noah, I'm going to mess his name up, Noah I.
Right.
Trayvon Diggs and Antoine Winfield both available at that point in time.
So instead of Tua, Austin Jackson, and Noah I, they could have had Justin Herbert,
Justin Jefferson,
and Stephon Diggs.
Trayvon Diggs,
I mean. So when you look at that in hindsight, yeah, everybody makes mistakes. But to miss 3 times in round one, don't take a chance. If Houston wants the number one, give it to him. Deshaun Watson's worth it. Obviously, we've been hearing about this potential trade for a while, so I think there are some things going on behind the scenes. You know, Miami was kind of covering themselves to make sure he's going to be available, and it seems like they may have gotten clarity.
Yeah, and there was another report out there. Maybe it's true. We'll find out more as this goes on, that Tua could be moved as part of this deal. There was a report that he could be headed to Washington. Multiple Washington reporters that I know and trust, JP Finley of NBC Sports Washington, John Keim of ESPN.com, both said that the organization, Washington, that is, says that is not true. Who knows? It's lying season. So who knows? That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. We got a good one going on in North Carolina. We got an NLCS game going on out in Los Angeles. Come on back right here on the Nightcap.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into the Nightcap. This segment is being brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Zyn is working to create a world where you can enjoy life on your own terms. Zyn nicotine pouches are a smoke-free, spit-free, and hassle-free tobacco alternative that can be enjoyed on the go anywhere and anytime, so you never miss a minute of the game or the tailgate party. Available in 10 varieties, including spearmint, coffee, and citrus, Zyn can be found at convenience stores nationwide, so you can find your Zyn wherever you are. Zyn's nicotine pouches are clean and discreet with no lingering smell. Plus, it's easy to use indoors or out, making it the perfect complement to your everyday. Also, Zyn comes in two strengths, so you have control over your nicotine satisfaction. Zyn does contain nicotine and is only for adult nicotine consumers. Learn more and find your local realtor at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Head to Houston, bottom of the hour. Talk to Adam Wexler down there. Get the latest on not only the Deshaun Watson situation, but what's going on with those Houston Astros who are one win away from heading to the World Series. A dominant performance yet again today. They win 9-1 earlier today.
Is this like the redemption playoffs for the Astros?
I would have said last year, I guess.
But they didn't win it.
I know.
They didn't get there.
Which is fantastic.
Right. So, like, wouldn't this be, like, a redemptive, like, quality to this?
I don't know.
Being able to even get there again, you know, because everybody basically said it was a fluke. They were cheating, which obviously they were because they were.
They were cheating.
Right. So now, you know, and to do it without McCullers.
Yep.
You know, it'd be interesting. Is he going to be able to come back if they make the World Series, or is that injury going to keep him out for the entirety of the playoffs? I mean, but the one thing that they have, man, they have bats. Like, I just love watching Jose Altuve play. Like, that bat, it's bigger than him, but, I mean.
I know.
He just, he's, his approach, his mentality, like, his demeanor, you know, he's just fun to watch.
Yeah, they went 9-1 today. They have a 5-run, 6th inning. Alvarez, Gurriel, Siri, all with RBIs in that inning. Brantley, another single RBI. Alvarez went yard in the 2nd inning off of Chris Sale. So 9-1, the victory for the Houston Astros. They take a 3-2 series lead. So off day tomorrow for that series as it heads back to Houston for game 6 and a potential clincher there for the Houston Astros. I want to get you updated real quickly on the NBA. Night 2 of the NBA. Last night we were sitting here watching Lakers and Warriors. Great comeback by the Warriors to get the win outright as road dogs. How about the Boston Celtics? Jaylen Brown hits a 3 from what looked to be, you know, a different Burrow. Then Julius Randle hits a couple threes, and Marcus Smart from Dennis Schroeder. Buries one to head into overtime. So we are tied at 116 in this one. I did take the season win total under on the New York Knickerbockers. So we will see how this... hey, anytime I can get a loss when you got an under, I'll take it. But man, this has been a fun one at Madison Square Garden as the Celtics come out.
The ability of the NBA to score... Like, in 20 seconds, like, there literally can be, like, 14-point score. Like, It's unbelievable at the end of games. Like, when they're really locked in, like, how great they are offensively.
The Knicks did close as 2.5-point favorites in this one. It is all tied up at 119. This one's going to be a fun one. We're keeping our eyes on this one. The total has already sailed over in this game. A couple finals already today in the NBA. Washington going up to Toronto. First game, home game for the Raptors in over a year and a half. Yeah. It was great to see fans there, but the Wizards take care of business and crush the Raptors as 2.5-point road dogs. You got your cover with the Chicago Bulls.
Lucky ducky.
Lay in the 5.5. And then Indiana and Charlotte, the Charlotte Hornets, as a home dog, took care of business, winning that one 123-122. A couple other games we'll keep our eyes on. Denver and Phoenix just tipped off. Phoenix laying 6. Of course, Phoenix making their run to the NBA Finals last year. You know, I do wonder the DeAndre Ayton contract situation. Is that going to weigh? They were unable to come to an extension there, so we will see how the year unfolds. Denver with no Jamal Murray to start the year. They were a team last year before the Murray injury, which we were sitting here right
here.
They
were hot.
I thought that there was a team that had a legitimate chance to win it all, Sean, with the way Jamal Murray was playing, with Michael Porter Jr., with the MVP and Jokic, but not to be, and we will see as that game just underway. Once again, Phoenix, a 6-point favorite.
By the way, the West is wide open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because the Lakers are the team that everybody kind of gravitates back to. The West is wide open. Golden State, once they get healthy, they can win it. Denver can win it. Utah can win it. Phoenix can win it.
I don't think Utah can.
I think they can. People forget, didn't they have the best record last year?
And then they lost in the playoffs again.
Yeah, they lost to a hot Clippers team.
Mm. Rudy Gobert, he gets taken advantage of every single time come the postseason. I believe that Denver, when they get Jamal Murray back, if he's healthy, I think Denver, absolutely. If the Clippers,
They're done because Kawhi's not playing this year.
Well, we'll see.
I just don't think they're good enough to be in position to where they really have a chance to win it, and I just don't see Kawhi coming back if they aren't.
It'll be fascinating. It will be. I thought Paul George, I learned something from him last year. I was very critical of him. He had some big, big games in the postseason. So
still pouts just a tad too much for me.
By the way, I just keep looking up at this Knicks and Celtics game. Oh, my gosh,
it's a
man.
Great game.
Every shot is going in. It's 128-128 right now. They're not even midway through overtime.
Yeah, it's a great game.
This is a fun game.
Why don't we just take the over?
Seriously. I mean, we already cashed that. We would already be sitting pretty. It was 219.5 with that one. So if you had the Celtics on the money line, you are alive right now. But if you took the points of the Celtics, who knows? I mean, you never know. A 2.5-point spread, you could have got plus 120 on the Celtics on the money line. We got Dodgers and Braves going on game 4 of the NLCS. Dodgers with that 2-1 series lead, and they have a 5-2 lead in the bottom of the 6.
I need a couple runs here.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'd rather get them sooner than later.
You don't want to be sweating this one out.
I don't want this thing to be 5-2 bottom of the knife. Like, let's at least get the push.
So we'll hit on this game as the night goes on, but it is official. Case Keenum will be starting at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Happy for Case.
D'Ernest Johnson.
My guy.
Your guy.
Yeah.
Someone on this desk may or may not have been desperate and picked him up for his fantasy team, so hopefully you can go call him and give him a little words of encouragement.
Good pickup.
So you're looking at Cleveland now, depending on where you look. Some 1.5s here at Circuits, 1.5. Some others, it's 2. Denver, still dealing with the injuries that they've sustained. Patrick Surtain out. Jerry Jeudy still out. Hamler's gone for the season. So they're still dealing with their issues. But Mayfield out. Chubb out. Hunt out. Jedrick Wilson and Jack Conklin. Their tackles are questionable. as you see the graphic right there. It feels like a live dog situation here with Denver. One of the lower totals on the board at 41. And if you're looking for a teaser, as we always talk about, and we'll talk about these later, this seems like a prime teaser candidate because you've got a 41-point total, and you could push up a 2 all the way to an 8 on the road with Denver. But what do you make of this game here tomorrow night with the Broncos and the Browns?
I like Denver. I really do. But to me, it revolves around Jedrick Willis and Jack Conklin. If they're available and they're playing, I think it's a fourth quarter game because this is what Cleveland does. They run the football. The reason that they run the football effectively is because they have the best offensive line when healthy, or one of the top two or three best offensive lines when healthy in the National Football League. Without those two tackles, you saw the duress and pressure that Baker Mayfield was under last week from a defensive line that didn't even have Chandler Jones. So Denver comes in. Denver's great at rushing the quarterback. Now, I don't know that Case Keenum is a downgrade from Baker Mayfield. I mean, people haven't seen Case in a while, but Case has completed 62% of his passes. He's thrown for over 14,000 yards. He's thrown for 75 touchdowns, so I think only like 45, 46, 47 interceptions in his career. So this isn't like some rookie. This isn't Davis Mills in Texans, in Houston, and we're hoping that he's good. Like, Case is a guy that's played a lot of football in this league. So I think after sitting and watching some of the things that Baker wasn't doing well, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays better than Baker has been playing recently. So we'll see. But again, they need those two tackles or they don't have a chance.
Yeah, once again, Wills and Conklin both listed as questionable for the Browns. Yeah, I went ahead and put the Broncos in a teaser. I think this is a spot when you have it's gonna be an ugly game.
And let me put a caveat on that right before we go to break. This is only if Teddy Bridgewater plays.
Right. Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater also questionable to play. End of six out in Los Angeles. Still 5-2. Braves have that 5-2 lead. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. We head to Houston next. Get the latest on Deshaun Watson. And, oh, yeah, those Houston Astros are looking like they're going to be World Series bound. Adam Wexler will join us right here on the Nightcap. Season, we're watching ourselves a pretty tantalizing game right now. 131-128, Celtics leading the Knicks in double overtime. Grab your copy of the VSiN Pro Basketball Betting Guide with strategies, predictions, and best bets to stay ahead of the odds makers. Our hoop experts, including JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, provide strategy and advice as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. This digital guide is a must-have. So give yourself a betting edge this season and get your copy now for only $9.99. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. It is the Nightcap alongside Super Bowl champ Sean King. I am Tim Murray. 27 all, fourth quarter, 9 minutes to go in Boone, North Carolina, App State and Coastal Carolina. App State with the ball right around midfield. We've got the NLCS going on, 5-2. Braves leading with two outs in the top of the seventh. Sean needs a couple more runs in this one. And as I mentioned, Boston and New York in double overtime. Jaylen Brown has 46 points. Well, it has been a busy day for the city of Houston, and it starts with the most important position in all of sports, the quarterback. Yeah. Sports Talk 790 host down in Houston, the A-Team from 3 to 6 p.m. Central. It is Adam Wexler, also part of the Houston Rockets broadcast as well. Adam, let's start with the big news of the day, the reports from John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. Is it now a matter of if or when, not if, Deshaun Watson is dealt?
Well, I don't think it's ever been a matter of if, because he was being dealt. Perfectly healthy right now, and he's not playing football for the Texans. There's no other plan in place. There's no other results to or solution to this problem. The only solution is he can't be a Texan. Whether they wanted to wait through the whole season, pass this deadline and do it in the offseason, or do it now is really the only thing that we've been waiting to get a final answer to, because the NFL is continuing to do absolutely nothing about what they will ultimately do when Watson decides he does want to play, as in when he's on another team. But we're now 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. That's why we're hearing these again. All this stuff coming out of our city today, I think, is there's a reason why it's being put out there again, because that deadline is out there. There's two more games to play before we hit that midweek deadline. And, you know, I still think the Texans are taking a big chance. If they move Watson before this deadline, and the bulk of what they're getting back in return is in the 2023 draft, then they're guessing where those picks are going to be. And they're getting them from a team that now has Deshaun Watson as their quarterback. And if they trade him now and he has to serve a suspension this year, and then he plays next year when they get the results from that season's win total, then they're going to get a terrible return for Watson.
What would be their option if they wait to after the trade deadline? How is that more beneficial for the organization, in your opinion?
Well, this is what they're kind of balancing it out on. Let's say, for instance, Miami's obviously one of the teams in the mix. I believe Philadelphia is another. It's possible there's other teams involved, but I don't think they're ultimately where the Texans will be getting picks from. So let's start with the Dolphins. If there's a belief that the NFL is finally going to step in and say Watson must be on the exempt list and thus he can't play, so you can now see your way clear to moving him to a team in 2021 that he now doesn't play for, so he wouldn't impact the selections you're getting back from them. The problem is the Dolphins don't have their pick. The Dolphins have the Niners pick this year. The Dolphins' first-round pick for this year belongs to it comes from Philadelphia. So the pick they'd be getting comes from a team that has nothing to do with this transaction. So that's why trading with Miami puts you in the same bad spot. The year he actually would be on the field for the Dolphins is the year you would get the picks from them in 2023. That has to, in my opinion at least, that has to be avoided. If you're dealing with a team and you're going to move him before the deadline, the only reason you would do that is if you believe he is not going to play. So you're trading him to a bad team who's going to give you their picks, which will remain good for you because Watson's not on the field this year. If you wait till the offseason, you obviously know exactly where those picks will be because it's all already determined. That's what they have to go into these discussions with. And I just can't believe that they would take a chance that even if they get three first-round picks in return, if none of them are in the top 15 or in the top 20, that's kind of a waste of time.
Now, Adam, we've heard a lot about Houston wanting elite draft picks in return for Deshaun Watson. Is that the only capital that they're looking for? Has there been any discussions about maybe getting a high-caliber, high-talented player back in return? And also, how do you factor into the draft picks that they're getting, that they probably will have a top two or three pick? So this will be a second first-round pick for them that they're attaining.
Yeah, the reality is the let's say their quarterback of the future, and it might sadly not be at the top of this draft, which of course stinks. This is something they've done three times now, had the top pick in the draft and not had a quarterback that was worthy of taking. They made the mistake the first time and took David Carr, and he wasn't worth it. And the second time around, Jadeveon Clowney was sitting there. A third time around, because they'd done it with Mario Williams already once. So they've had the first pick in the draft three times, have drafted a franchise quarterback successfully zero times. And they do have a pretty good chance to land the first pick in the draft this year, but I don't think there's a quarterback to take yet again. So you're right. Their picks are probably where the bulk of their future is coming from, but that shouldn't dissuade them from trying to get the most they can for a player of this caliber. And I understand what you're saying, and I can see where they might view it that way, and it'd still be accurate. Their picks are going to be bad, and banking on their decision makers making good selections is even a reach. But the idea that they want actual current NFL players, most of those players are rookies or second-year players that are under contract for two, three, four more years under a very team-friendly deal because it's their original contract, they shouldn't have any interest in players because those players will be long gone before this team ever does anything of value.
Talk once again to Adam Wexler. Catch his show on Sports Talk 790 down in Houston from 3 to 6 p.m. every single weekday. That's in the Central Time Zone. Adam, we were having this discussion yesterday regarding the quarterback position because Tyrod played well, very well, week one. They get that win. He gets hurt. Davis Mills steps in. I am of the mindset that this is a lost season. So let's, if you're the Texans, just see what you got, because you're going to have a decision to make come the draft. Sean disagrees. He says just play the better quarterback, which I understand. What is the thought inside that building down in Houston? Do you think at some point when Tyrod Taylor is fully healthy, he'll be back as the starter?
I think Sean has the viewpoint of an NFL player. You're going to tell these NFL players,
right,
we're going to play the young guy and not the quarterback who gives us the best chance to win. That's, you know, number one, first page of the book on how to lose a locker room. Now, granted, they're going to lose the locker room anyway. They stink. They're 1-5. I don't know how much of a concern that will be, but this has been a very clear public declaration the last couple of weeks from the head coach. He has said, and he actually said it again today, when Tyrod Taylor is healthy, he will be the starting quarterback. They're possibly going to open his window to return from IR by having a practice some this week, but he won't play this week. Mills will start for at least one more week, but a healthy Taylor is the starting quarterback for this football team. I think it's fine for the players. I understand where they're coming from, but the big picture is, yeah, of course you want to find out what you have with Mills. You know what you have with Taylor, a guy that gives you a better chance to win, which is bad for the future.
You know, Adam, interesting, you had mentioned the actual decision-making. Sometimes when you have all these selections, it doesn't really matter if you can't evaluate at a high level and make the proper selection. One of the reasons that Miami is a trade partner was because they missed in the Tua draft. Justin Herbert was available when they selected Tua. When they took Austin Jackson, Justin Jefferson was available, and they took a cornerback when Stephon Diggs was still on the table. So, having said that, what's your opinion of Davis Mills and a team that's trying to accumulate elite talent? In my opinion, you always go best available in the draft. Should they have selected Davis Mills at number 3? And what's your opinion of him?
Well, third round.
Well, third round pick.
Yeah, no, I don't think they should have. And the whole idea that they're trying to find out what they have, you mean they're trying to find out if he's possibly the answer, the quarterback of the future. I can't envision any scenario where he does anything that could tell this team, don't draft a quarterback in 2021. He's too good. Or 2022, excuse me. He's proven that he can be this team's quarterback. There's just no way that's going to happen. So why they use the third round pick on him, even though it's, you know, I think a lot of teams did like him, and I don't think there's anything wrong with him. It just seemed like this team, with that usual, typical, correct philosophy of take the best available player. And believe me, they've got needs at every position. They will have the same needs at every position in next year's draft, that they probably should have gone in a different direction. He currently looks like there's something there. He probably can develop. How high that ceiling is for him is a real question mark, because I don't think it's particularly high. But it's just not something a team in this position should probably do, especially last year when they were already limited on the draft picks they had.
Adam, before we let you run, I'm going to make you have 15 seconds to answer this question. Are the Houston Astros going to win the World Series?
Yep.
There you go.
The redemption trophy is coming to Houston.
The only reason I would be happy is for Dusty Baker. That is the only thing I would be
great
happy
guy
for. Adam Wexler, really appreciate it. We will absolutely be talking to you soon.
Sounds good.
There he is, Adam Wexler. Check out the show. You know what? He's a radio guy. He knew I gave him a time cue. He said, yep, they're winning it. Well, it's a nightcap here on VSiN.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. The man, the myth, the legend, Brad Evans, is going to join us top of the hour, as he always does on Wednesdays. We'll get his favorite prop plays of the weekend, which is always enjoyable.
And a big noise, man. Always does a great job.
Maybe we'll get him to sing a little Peter Gabriel. You never know. You never know what will happen. 27 all down in Boone, North Carolina. I'm kicking myself, but you know what? I'm happy I didn't play it, because Coastal still has a very good chance to win this game.
No, they don't.
And I wouldn't want to be against it.
They don't have a chance to cover. I mean, it'd take a miracle right now for them to cover. This game has 30-27 one way or the other written all over
it. It does.
Yeah.
Coastal has punted it away.
I don't know what Coastal's been doing on offense, but, you know, and it's a terrible time for Jamie, the head coach at Coastal, to have this kind of game. I mean, with Southern Cal open, with LSU open. Now, granted, he would not be the front runner for either job, but watch how this works.
Oh, it's a trickle down.
Right. Mel Tucker leaves Michigan State. James Franklin leaves Penn State. Yeah. Now those two jobs are open.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you know, now you're a higher priority, you know, at maybe just a slightly lesser school. But this doesn't help him at all. His team doesn't look prepared coming off the bye. They haven't executed well. You know, game plan leaves a lot of questions. You know, and people watch. You know, there are ADs around the country that are watching. You know, they want to see.
Yeah, this is an island game. This is a big opportunity for them. Obviously, last year when they, you know, won, it wasn't an island game, but it was a high-profile game against BYU. College Game Day, I believe, was there for it, if my memory serves
me. They made that happen in, like, what, 10 days or something?
Less than that. Yeah. It was, like, Tuesday. They loaded up the trucks in Provo and drove to South Carolina. So that game all tied up. App State does have the ball. They will be driving to try to take the lead in that one. Game went final, and if you took the points with Boston, you thought you were done, and then you had life, and then you went to overtime, and that's where dogs go to die.
Yeah.
And the Knicks win 138-134. Yes.
What was that, a three-point spread?
Two and a half. Closed in favor of the Knicks. And then interesting development here in Los Angeles. Justin Turner just grounded out to second. It was a fielder's choice, so he reached. But he pulled up lame with his hamstring. Not ideal.
Especially with Muncy already being out.
Yeah, so it is 5-2 right now. Braves still with that lead. We need a run. We need two runs for my guy here. At least one to get that push.
Yeah, at least get my push in.
So Tony Gonsolin on the hill here for the Dodgers. 5-2, Braves leading top of the eighth inning. Looking to take a 3-1 series lead. Brad Evans, as mentioned, coming up top of the hour. We've been doing this the past couple of weeks, and this is just a list, not a I'm betting all these games. This is just a list of letdown spots, and I included two potential look-ahead spots this week, Sean, and I want to discuss these games. So let's start with the letdown spots. And number one to me is Purdue. Purdue did, I wouldn't say the unthinkable, but very surprising. Purdue went on the road, beat then number two Iowa as an 11.5-point dog, and there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They dominated that game, Sean. I think they won the yardage by about 200 yards. They were tremendous. Aiden O'Connell played well. Jeff Brohm's playing three quarterbacks. Bell, their wide receiver, was unstoppable, had over 200 yards receiving in that game. And then you got Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a team that is 2-4 ATS this year. And you just wonder the mindset of Purdue, Sean, coming off of a game where they go into Iowa, they get this huge win, they're celebrating. They're now a home dog against Wisconsin. Wisconsin's won 14 straight in this series. But as much as I want to, and maybe they'll be part of the bankroll, but I didn't write them up for the website, I want to play Wisconsin. I've been on the wrong side of Wisconsin all year long. I was on the wrong side of them when they played Michigan. Michigan was coming off of their win against, I forget who I was trying to fade there. But I thought this was an interesting nugget, and our friend Chris Felica said this on his podcast. Wisconsin has now been a favorite in 14 straight games, Sean. They are 5-9 ATS in those games and have lost 7 of them outright. This seems like the perfect time. This line stinks. You've got a Wisconsin team going to Purdue, who is 25th in the country, and they're laying points in West Lafayette. I want to take Wisconsin. I just don't know if I have the guts because they've burned me so far this year. So what are your thoughts on Wisconsin and Purdue?
I'm not going to play the game, but again, I like Purdue. And the reason being, and you mentioned him, is David Bell. He's averaging 18 yards per catch.
He's so good.
I mean, they don't have to be great on offense. He just can be great two or three times, and they get to 21. And as long as Wisconsin is still trotting Graham Mertz out there, watch his yardage total the last three games. Threw for 112 yards against Army, 100 yards against Illinois, 115 yards against Michigan.
He got hurt in the Michigan game.
Right, but they're not playing an offensive juggernaut. So the chances of Wisconsin ever leading by a huge margin are slim. So that means one David Bell play keeps you in the game, potentially can help you win it. So I do think it's a letdown spot, but I still think that Purdue has just enough explosiveness to potentially come away with a victory.
And you know me, I like pain, as you always
say. You do, because you're still fooling around with Wisconsin.
I really thought long and hard. I think, speaking of pain, the under might be the way in this one. It's 40.5. It's gross.
Yeah.
But, as you saw there, Purdue, 0-6 to the under. So every game has gone under. And Wisconsin is a dead under team, too, 2-4 to the under. All right, let's look at a couple of these games. And
such a low total.
I know, it's crazy. I mean, that's an NFL, that's a low NFL, that's the lowest, I believe that'd be the lowest NFL total this week. Quick glance, any 30s? No, that game would be the lowest NFL game this week.
But again, if you think Wisconsin's the side, then 40 makes sense.
21-17.
Yeah, they're not scoring a bunch of points.
No.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at a couple of other of these and anything that jumps out. So Oklahoma State, they're coming off a win over Texas. I put that on here. I think some folks disagreed. I just thought that was a big win for the Pokes on the road, beating Texas as a dog, coming back in that second half. And now they're getting 7 at Iowa State. That line is fishy as all get out. Ole Miss. Now,
Can I comment?
Yeah, go for it.
Oklahoma State wins that game outright.
Yeah. Want a cigar bet on that?
Oh, absolutely. I've been waiting on you to get back in the mix. And let me explain why. Everybody looks at Iowa State and says they've righted the ship. Iowa State has 4 wins on the season. Guess who 3 of them were against? Northern Iowa,
yep.
UNLV, mm-hmm. and Kansas.
Yep.
Their other win is Kansas State, who's been reeling since starting. They have not beaten anyone. Now, I don't love Oklahoma State because I don't love their quarterback. I think at times they're very one-dimensional on offense, but I can't get out of my mind what I saw from Iowa State versus Iowa and Baylor. So I'm going with what I think is the more talented and better team, even though the line is saying Iowa State's going to win by 10 or more probably. But mm-hmm. I'm going with Oklahoma State.
All right. So straight up, you got Oklahoma State, I got Iowa State. Cigar bet.
Boy, The Dodgers center fielder is snake bit.
Lux. That's Mookie. Mookie's out there right now.
Tim has Iowa State.
Yep.
And
no points.
Nostradamus has Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I need some help here because I'm down four. I'm down four here. Just looking at the rest of this list, anything else jump out at you? Ole Miss and LSU, I think you can make an argument. Both teams are coming off of big wins. LSU obviously was a massive dog. UL Monroe, 32.5-point underdog. They are now back at it at home against South Alabama. And that included a couple look-ahead spots. You know, Michigan State is off this week. Penn State is off this week. Their two opponents both have games. Ohio State's at Indiana, laying 21. And then I think Michigan, they're going to win. But Northwestern showed life last week coming off their bye. They beat Rutgers. This game, just it feels like Michigan wins by 17 to 20, and they just say, all right, let's get ready for Michigan State. Anything else jumping out at you on this page here?
I'm actually, no, nothing jumps out.
Yeah.
I just, the LSU had some other people get injured. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
But if I was going to take a side, it'd be LSU.
And if Matt Corral's not playing, I would take LSU. Yeah. I think there is a play for Coach O mindset out there. So I would look at taking the nine with LSU. I just don't know enough about South Alabama, but
they're decent.
Man.
I watched them take apart Georgia
Southern. UL Monroe, coming off of that win, they were celebrating all week long down in Monroe, Louisiana. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. Brad Evans coming up top of the hour right here on the Nightcap.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.